It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now, here's your host, John Schmell.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. You can also send in your questions on Twitter at hashtag GiantsChat. The morning of the draft is finally here. And in less, I'd say about 12 hours, all the speculating will finally be over. We'll know who the newest member of the New York Giants is going to be, unless, of course, they trade down and waste everyone's time tonight. And the man with all the answers to tell us exactly what they're going to do, I know he has all the best sources in the business, is Tom Rock of Newsday. Tom, good morning. How are you, pal?
Good morning, John. How are you? Good. Happy draft day.
Hey, happy draft day to you as well, Tom. And let's get down to the nitty-gritty here with the Giants. It's no secret that they're looking to get younger and improve the offensive line. But all the recent news and all the recent conjecture says that none of the top six offensive linemen will be on the board when the Giants pick at number 19. Number one, do you agree with that assessment? And number two, if all six guys are off the board, is there another offensive lineman you think that's worth choosing in terms of their value at number 19?
I think it's a very good possibility because this draft doesn't have a tremendous amount of skill players at the top. So teams are going to be looking for value picks, long-term picks, and that usually leads itself to offensive linemen. So if you look at, you know, probably the bottom of that list is Fluker, I would guess, is where you're putting the
correct
the top six.
You got it.
You know, even if he gets past, I have a hard time seeing him getting past the Cowboys at 18, right above the Giants. But
right.
He may go even earlier than that. Dolphins, I've seen some places. So then you go to the next level, and you have guys like Pugh and guys like Long from Oregon, who is a really good athlete. I have a little trouble. I have a little concern about Oregon offensive linemen because of the way that they block and the scheme that they fit in that under Chip Kelly.
Right.
It's a little unorthodox, and it doesn't always translate right away, especially to what the Giants do, which is completely different than what Chip Kelly does.
Yeah.
So, I'd have a little bit of a concern there. So I think if they're, I get the sense that they want Fluker, but if he's not there, I'm not so sure that they go with an offensive lineman in the first round. I think they may be able to get somebody close to that level of the Pugh from Syracuse or the Long from Oregon in the second round or later.
All right, well, let's talk about linebackers then. Do you think there is a linebacker that has a high enough grade, whether it's Ogletree, whether it's Teo, whether it's Minter, whether it's the kid out of Kansas State? Do you think anybody has a high enough grade in the Giants' eyes where they could be a possibility at number 19?
Ogletree probably does, just based on his on-field stuff. Teo... I don't know if he's right, if he's there. He may be just a little behind, and that's a little bit of a reach for the Giants at 19.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not so – that's definitely not the Giants' MO is to reach for a player. They're more the type of team that sits back and waits for players to fall to them and then has the flexibility to adjust to it the way they did with Prince of Mukamara, the way they did with Marvin Austin a couple of years ago, the way they did with Jason Pierre-Paul for that matter. And wait for that one star to trickle through the system and come to them, than they are to go up and reach for a player who probably isn't at that level. You know, 19 is a tough pick because you're sort of right at that border of playoff teams and where that talent border usually is in the first round between really impact players and immediate impact players and guys who you're taking a little bit more of a chance on. So I'm not so sure that they're going to go with a linebacker there. you know, one guy I know that they like, and he, people say he plays like a linebacker, is Kenny Vaccaro, the safety from Texas. He's a big hitter. I don't know if he's going to be there yet at that point at 19 either. But he is, you know, he was pretty impressive. We got to talk to him yesterday a little bit at the NFL Play 60 event. And, yeah, he's ready to hit people already. It's only April. So, you know, I think the Giants like that. And that would come in handy, having a player like him at a safety, like in the slot, even in the nickel, coming up on these read option quarterbacks. And the running game that they're going to be facing, I think that would be helpful for them.
Yeah, Vaccaro's one of those guys that has that safety skill set everybody wants. He can cover the tight end down the field. He's big enough to make plays at the line of scrimmage. Then you could probably finally move on to a role out of that slot spot, which really has limited his ability to be a playmaker in the secondary.
Right. And you can go with that three safety look, too, if you want to, and use Vaccaro in that role.
Very interesting.
You know, almost like how they use Deion Grant.
And I think you're 100% right when you kind of broke down where the Giants are picking. They're almost in no man's land here, where there's a chance that all these guys with a quote-unquote true first-round grade, nobody might slide to them at number 19. If that does happen, what's the odds you think that Jerry Reese figures out a way to trade down, and will he be able to find a trade partner that wants to move up to pick number 19?
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's always a chance, but you have to think that everybody's looking at this draft and seeing the same thing.
Right.
You know, nobody. I don't think who are they gonna trade up for? You know, somebody gonna trade up for Teo? Is somebody gonna trade up for Ogletree? You know, maybe Eddie Lacy. I don't know, but yeah, it depends on how the whole board plays out. And then if there's a trade early on, of course, that throws the whole thinking out the window. So. You know, I think flexibility is the whole key. I'm sure the Giants will have offers. I'm sure they'll even make some offers to move down. And you know, if it's the right deal, then they'll jump on it.
Yeah, no question about it. How about some of the defensive line prospects that might be there? The Giants have had a lot of defensive tackles, but beyond this season, they only have two guys on their contract, and that's Marcus Kuhn and Cullen Jenkins. Everyone else is a free agent. A defensive end, they've lost OC. Obviously, the pass rush last year, not what the Giants would have liked. They might move Mathias Kiwanuka back to defensive end. That's a wait-and-see thing. We'll see when they get to OTAs exactly what they're doing. How do you break down some of the defensive line prospects that might be there at 19 for the Giants?
I like them. I like Werner a lot. You know, we asked Jerry Reese the other day about players coming off of ACLs, and he said, you know, with the modern medicine and the technology that they have now, it's really not an issue for players who tear an ACL in their senior year in college to come back and play, be productive in the NFL. And so then you got to look at a guy like Tank Carradine down at Florida State too, and you know, he certainly is a first round talent. Whether or not he'll be a first-round pick, I don't know. Teams may shy away from that injury, but he certainly had an impressive workout last week. I think the mantra of the Giants, you know, that you can never have too many pass rushers, is going to be in play here a little bit, because this is a team that drafted a pass rusher, drafted a defensive end, Mathias Kiwanuka, when they didn't need one. So now they kind of need one. You would think that would spur them on to make that decision and go in that direction.
And you could make the same argument. They didn't necessarily need a pass rusher when they drafted Jason Pierre-Paul 2 years ago either, but wham, bam, there he goes, and Kiwanuka's back at linebacker again.
Exactly, yeah. Kiwanuka keeps bouncing back and forth, and just to cap that point, I get the sense that he is going to be more of a defensive end this year. For the Giants, and I think that's the best spot for him, because that's a natural position. That's where he's most comfortable.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, Tom, where else do you think, and is there anything that you think the Giants or Giant fans are overlooking in terms of needs for the Giants as they head into this draft?
I haven't seen a lot of talk about cornerbacks, and I don't know if there's a first round pick out there for them at cornerback, but you look at their infrastructure right where they have it right now, and you have Webster, who's got a voidable year left on his contract. He may be in his last year. They just brought Ross back. He's sort of a year-to-year veteran role. You have Prince Amukamara, a draft pick, Hosley, a draft pick, and they're young, and they'll be around for a couple of years. You know, it may be time to start reloading at that position a little bit, and you know, bring in somebody that they can sort of bring along in the top half of this draft, and go forward with a young core of three young cornerbacks in Prince, Hosley, and whoever they take.
Will the Giants at any point in this draft, rounds 1-7, draft somebody at a skill position on offense, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, or tight end?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they took a quarterback. They haven't taken one in a couple of years. They haven't really had a project quarterback for a number of years since Ryan Perilou was up and down with the practice squad there for a while. You know, I don't know that now is the time, but I'd love to know what the when the clock starts ticking in Jerry Reese's head about when to start thinking about life after Eli Manning. I mean, is it, you know, I know the lifespan of an NFL quarterback is a lot longer than every other player, but he's getting up there now, and he's been around for a while, and eventually he's not going to be a Giant anymore, and the Giants have to have a plan in place. Now, like I said, I don't think this is the year that you go out and you start saying, okay, this is the heir apparent. But, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years from now, that's a decision that they're going to have to make. So I wouldn't be surprised if they drafted a quarterback this year and just somebody to sort of bring along and polish.
Tom?
And then the other question is, you don't know how long David Carr is going to stick around either.
Yeah, that's true. And you don't know, you know, David, I think he's kind of played out the idea of trying to get a starting job somewhere. He's kind of been there and back on that. So I'm not sure he's going to want to do that. But who knows when he wants to retire, too. I mean, David Carr, he has a pretty darn good job with the Giants. He gets paid, you know, a good $1 million a year, just kind of hangs out. Eli Manning's caddy, goes
doesn't
in the meetings.
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't gotten touched in a regular season game in Lord knows how long, which is a nice break from what he did do in Houston. He has a pretty darn good job here.
And he does a, you know what he does a really nice job in is undervalued is bringing along the younger skill players, the second and third stringers in the preseason.
Yeah.
And giving them that guidance in those crazy preseason games in the second half of those preseason games when things are nuts and there's chaos in the huddle and nobody's really quite sure where they're supposed to be. He's a guy that can bring that all together and help get everybody, you know, kind of herd those cats forward.
Yeah, and everybody always talks about the good work he does as a member of the scout team, too, during practice, you know, mimicking all these mobile quarterbacks. David Carr really is a very good athlete in addition to his quarterbacking skills. All right, Tom, I want to touch on – I will get your draft prediction before we say goodbye, but I want to jump to the other pertinent Giant topic. I just want to get your take on it. Have you seen any movement, any change in negotiating position, any sort of alteration now that Victor Cruz can no longer sign – with another NFL team, or are these two teams exactly where they were 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, I think they're going to. Excuse me, John. I think they're going. They're you know, they're obviously. It would be in the best interest of both sides to get a long term contract done. And when we talked to John Mara the other night at the event in New York City where Cruz was being honored, you know, he basically said that it's going to get done. Just be patient. These things take time. Really, the next deadline for this is, you know, when people will start raising their eyebrows is if Cruz isn't around for the mandatory veteran minicamp in June. And then right after that ends, then there's the deadline when they can start to rescind the tender offer to him and make it a lot less money than what it is right now, which is, about $2.8 million. So, you know, that gives them a lot of time. There's really no deadline. There's no pressure to get this done right now. So I think it'll get done. I don't get the sense that it's going to get done this weekend. Obviously, there's other things going on, but it'll get done. That's my understanding.
All right, Tom, put it on the line. Give me a prediction. Who do the Giants pick at number 19 tonight? Radio City Music Hall.
I would love to see them take Fluker. I think he comes in. I think he's a starter at right tackle. I think I love his energy. I love his enthusiasm. He's you know. He's like Paul DeTino, but at 6'6" and 350 pounds or whatever he is.
That's scary.
Which it's a little frightening to be around. And but he is he's a strong player. He's a run blocker. That's what they like. So, you know, in an ideal world, if Fluker's there, he's the guy. After that, I think they take a chance on Tank Carradine.
Interesting.
Yeah, I really do.
I actually really like Carradine, too, and he seems to be that great athlete, high upside player that Jerry Reese just loves to take.
Yeah, yeah. You know, even with his besides his injury, you know, he's got some raw talent that they like to develop, and the Giants like to get their coaches' hands on these young guys and sort of mold them and shape them. And I think I'd like that pick, Carradine.
Tom, I appreciate the time, my friend. Have fun tonight, and we'll see you in a couple days. All right, pal?
All right, John. Enjoy the show.
Appreciate it, man. That's Tom Rock from Newsday. Does an excellent job covering the New York Giants. Some great insight from him there. We got some callers on the line. I want to get to you right now. You've been waiting for a long time. We appreciate it. We'll get to you in the order in which you called at 201-939-4513. Also on Twitter, you can send in your questions and comments to hashtag Giants Chat. And now we say hello to Gary in Atlantic City. Gary, what's going on?
Hey, John. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Interesting conversation. Listen, today's like my Christmas. This is my best day of the year. I look forward to reviewing all drafts, not just the Giants. But I think the Giants should concentrate on that darn middle linebacker. It's been years since we had a real bull in there. And I just like Ogletree. I hope they have to go down, but they've got to shore that up because, as you well know, once the run gets going and they run on us, we're doomed. So I appreciate you taking my call, and good luck this season. Thank you.
I appreciate it, Gary. Thanks for the call. And Gary's a betting man, it looks like, being in Atlantic City. So he likes a middle linebacker there. And here's what I'll say about the Giants, and I'll go through all this before the end of the show. And I actually sat down last night and tried to do a complete first-round mock draft. They got through about 8 picks, and then I gave up. It's hard. I don't know how these guys do it. And the Browns at 6. I was literally on the Browns at 6 trying to figure out who that dopey franchise was going to take for about 30 minutes, and I couldn't figure it out. And that's kind of what I get through with the towel. Oh, man. Anyway, in terms of middle linebackers, when the Giants pick at 19, to me there's only two guys that you could possibly take in that spot, and that's Ogletree and that's Manti Te'o. And there's only those two guys that are there that I think are worthy of first-round picks that can play the middle. That's number one. Number two, and I'm not even sure Ogletree can play middle. I think he might be more of an outside linebacker. But some people think he can project to the middle. That's like based on the franchise type of deal. They're very different players. As an athlete, Ogletree is the clear winner. But as a football player, Taylor's probably a better football player. And despite that girlfriend incident, he's the more reliable guy off the field, dedicated to football, hasn't made those same mistakes that Ogletree has. So if they're going to go middle linebacker, it's going to be one of those two guys. That's number one. Number two, I'm not sure if the Giants have a high enough grade on either guy to be picking them at 19. However, I believe both those guys are on the Giants board and they will be considered when they go in that spot. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Tim in Jackson, New Jersey. Tim, what's going on? Tim, go ahead, pal. We're going to put Tim on hold, and we'll try to get back to him in just a second. Tim had stepped away from the phone, apparently. Now let's go to Shakes down in Baltimore. Shakes, welcome back.
Yeah, man. Hey, what's going on?
What's up, man?
Nothing much, man. Just waiting on this draft. Again, I want to just say we got to draft Ogletree. We got to draft Ogletree. I'm saying really because that read option it was a killer for us last year. Like, we couldn't stop RG3 for anything. He was a terror for us.
He was a terror for everybody, Shake. So it wasn't just the Giants, trust me.
Yeah, true that. But Ogletree is the best answer for it. It's like the kryptonite to Superman. It's just the ultimate bet. Backfired towards that.
Well, Shakes, how would you react if the Giants picked Te'o instead of Ogletree?
Oh, my gosh. I'll be sick. I'll be sick. I'd rather, if we don't go Ogletree, I don't want the middle linebacker in the first. If a tackle is gone and somehow Ogletree is gone, I would want to go after Reed, the safety.
I've heard good things about him. Mike Mayock was, talking about Dallas maybe picking him at 18 when he did his mock draft last night. He's a guy with good coverage skills, and I know a lot of people are big fans of Eric Reed.
Yeah, yeah. And also, I want to speak on your boy Tank Carrigan. I like him. I really like him. I don't think that he's a first-round pick, though, with that injury. I think teams are going to be scared. And he might drop to us in the second round.
Well, see, the thing about it, since the draft isn't full with that top-line talent, I think teams are going to be more willing to roll the dice in a guy like Carradine in a draft like this to try to get that true top 15 talent, even though they're taking a risk on an injury. You know what I mean?
You think so? Because, I mean, it's a lot of defensive ends that's healthy, more healthy, don't have that concern. Like the guy Dayton Jones that y'all was talking about yesterday, he reminds me of Tuck more than Warren, dude. And it's just a lot of defensive ends, so Tank Carradine could drop.
I'd be shocked if Carradine was there when the Giants picking round two. If he was, and if he is, God bless him. You take him in a
perfect
second, and you run to the bank, and you're thrilled.
Uh-huh.
But I wouldn't bet on it.
Just imagine him and Overtree. Our defense would be nasty. Oh, I just can't wait for this draft.
Shakes, I appreciate it, my friend.
All right, man.
Take care. Good. Shakes is entertaining himself with Fantasyland Daydreams, which is always fun. But that's the beauty of the draft, though. You don't know who's going to be there. Heck, no one thought Prince was going to be there when the Giants picked at 19, and he was there. Shakes thinks Tank Carradine might be there at round two. Unlikely, but heck, guy has a torn ACL. I mean, that might scare enough people off. Heck, some people think Ogletree might drop to the mid to late second round with his off-the-field stuff. I've read that in a few places, so I'm not saying he's going to be, but second round, not impossible is what I'll say. I've seen him drop mid-second round in a couple different scenarios. 201-939-4512. Let's try Tim in Jackson, New Jersey again. Tim, what's going on? Tim. All right, wait, Tim, you got two chances. Sorry. And on this show, it's two strikes and you're out, not three. So you're out. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Up to Vic in Connecticut. Vic, good morning.
Good morning, John. How are you?
What's up, pal?
Well, the speculation is over. It's time to pick. So hopefully everybody's satisfied at the end of the evening.
Well, Vic, you're on the clock. Who are you taking?
Well, you know, I 2 weeks ago I made a very bold statement on the show and picked somebody and said, now I'm on the archive, so now I've got to stick to it. So if you could erase that, I'll give you a new one. I'll have a redo here.
Okay. Please refresh my memory, Vic. What was your old one?
Okay. I picked Fluker.
Okay. Well, I think if Fluker's there, I think it's a great pick. But what if Fluker's not there?
Well, you know what? I believe that, you know, it's after the first 10 or 12 picks, it's so interchangeable over the next 10 picks.
I agree.
I think a lot of the fans are going to be sitting there saying, everybody's gone who I wanted. I have a sense of that. I think we're gonna get there. So I'm gonna make a pick, and I'm gonna agree with the gentleman that you had on this morning, and say that Desmond Trufant is their pick.
Interesting.
I say that because I've read a lot of good things about him. I think he's got some good pedigree. I think having three or four young guys back there will help when Webster retires and whatever. So I'm going to go with that. And I just don't think Fluker's going to be there. He just keeps moving up and up the board. So one comment I have and then a question for you, John.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think Dallas definitely moves up. I don't see them sitting in front of the Giants. I see them jumping up to 10, 12, somewhere in that area. Because I think when Jerry Jones wants something, he's going to go get it at any cost. And, you know, Fluke would probably fit him well or some other guys that they could use on the D-line or whatever.
Hey, look, Jerry Jones loves to make moves and make trades on draft day. I think it's more likely for Dallas to trade down than to trade up, to be honest with you. But I do think you will see Dallas make some sort of move either on day one or day two.
And Dallas could move down simply for financial reasons, too. I mean, they're a little hard against the cap, so maybe a little lower draft choice will cost them a little less money.
Yeah, I was reading a story. I think they're already like $18 million over the cap for next year, and that's today. So the Cowboys certainly have some cap issues.
You know, if you just got rid of that big scoreboard in the middle of the field, he could probably get all his money back. That's a point for another day, I guess.
Yeah.
I can see Jerry Reese moving down. I could very easily see him sitting there, you know, in the pick before him and saying to himself, you know what, all the guys are gone that I really wanted, our, you know, our value board is whatever. I'm going to move down maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 picks and pick up an additional 5th or 6th or something like that. I could see that happening.
You know what? If you can find the taker, I think that's very much in the realm of possibility.
The last thing I would ask you, the question I have is, there's been some talk about, you know, is it time to start to pick a developmental quarterback? My opinion is the answer is no. And the only reason I say that, and you can help me out with this, is Eli's about 32 years old, I think, if I remember correctly. I'm hoping that Eli's got about 5 years left in him.
At least.
37, I'm hoping, yeah. If he can stay healthy, I think he's like his brother, say 37.
I agree.
Why would you pick a developmental quarterback knowing full well that even if you got someone who's really good, you're probably not going to be able to keep him for that 4 or 5 years because you'd have to renew a contract and whatever? What would be the logic behind that, John?
I would tend to agree that I don't think it's a need to pick a developmental quarterback this year. I really don't, especially considering Tom Coughlin doesn't like holding 3 quarterbacks in the active roster. So you'd have to sneak him onto the practice squad. And if he turns out to be a gem, there's no way you're going to be able to keep him on the practice squad because another team will gobble him up very quickly if he shows anything in the preseason. So I agree. I don't think it's wise to use a draft pick on a quarterback this year. And I realize that, you know, they haven't done it in a while. They picked Andre Woodson a few years ago. They had the hefty lefty, obviously, Ryan Perilou. But I agree with you, Vic. I don't think there's much value in taking a developmental quarterback this year.
It's almost like the discussion has to be, Eli, give me a 3-year head start. So at 3 years when you're leaving, tell me, then we'll go do this.
Yes, I think it makes more sense to pick the quarterback when Eli is 34, 35, not when he's 31, 32.
I agree. Well, hey, thanks for all week and then last week of the guys coming on. Great perspectives from everybody. You know, good show. And we'll see what happens tonight. And we'll see who's right and who's wrong. We're probably all wrong.
We're probably all wrong, and the Giants have a draft board that nobody else has, and that's how it usually goes. Vic, we appreciate it.
Take care.
Thanks. 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat. Don is up in New Hampshire. Don, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
What's going on, Don? How are you?
Not much. Just waiting for tonight.
As are we all.
Yeah, exactly. Just a couple of questions. Maybe we could trade back with one of the 49ers picks. Who knows? They got like 13 in the draft, don't they?
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense for the 49ers to be a team that can use those multiple picks to move up either in the first or the second round to get a player that they value because they're returning, I think, something insane, like 20 of their 22 starters for next season. They have their first-round pick last year, A.J. Jenkins, who didn't even take a snap for him last year. LaMichael James, their second-round pick, barely played. I don't think they have enough roster spots to accommodate all the draft picks that they have. So I see the Niners either trading up this year or I see them maybe trading some picks from this year's draft for picks in next year's draft to kind of just back those picks up a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And just one other thing. I was wondering, what do you think, is anybody at all a tad, I mean, I know we've made a lot of moves defensively. We picked up, you know, we've signed some of, you know, Ross and a few of these other guys. And, you know, of course, we got Cullen Jenkins and Patterson and many players on the defensive side of the ball. We picked up, what, Lewis Murphy and,
yep.
and the tight end.
Brandon Myers.
Yeah. Are we even, you know, worried at all offensively? If and I know I always call up and say, if Victor Cruz doesn't sign and he holds out, if he doesn't sign and holds out, we've got, you know, an unproven man in Randall who, you know, I think he caught a total of 300 yards last year, probably 3 TDs, something like that.
Yeah.
And we've got the off-injured Hakeem Nicks on the other side. And Murphy, we don't know what he has. And then in the backfield, we've got a couple of running backs who are good, but they've never, you know, played a full season as the load carriers.
Ultra.
I'm just wondering, is anybody else kind of a little antsy about the offensive side of the ball, or is it just me?
I think most people and the Giants believe Hakeem Nicks will come back and be healthy. And I believe inside the organization, they have great hope and great confidence in Reuben Randall, just based off, even though he maybe didn't show it in games because he didn't have the opportunity, but due to what he showed in practice and on the practice field towards the end of the season, I think they believe if they have to use Reuben Randall as their number 2 wide receiver, they'd be very, very comfortable with that, and they'd be more than happy to go into it next year with Hakeem Nicks and Reuben Randall and see what happens, and I think they'll be okay with that. As for the running backs, they do have Ryan Terrain as a veteran backup, which helps, but I wouldn't be shocked if they don't draft a running back, which I don't think is likely necessarily, that they could bring another veteran for some safety valve help just in case something goes horribly wrong with David Wilson and A.J. Brown. And a tight end, I think they're in good shape. Brandon Myers is a quality player. You can catch the ball. You have Adrian Robinson, who was a fourth-round pick last year, developmental player. They think he's going to be able to play this year. And Bear Pascoe is Mr. Reliable. So I think a tight end, they're okay. Running back, maybe a little bit more backup and wide receiver. I think they like Randall and Nix enough, even if Cruz isn't here, to be confident this season.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense to me. I like Reuben Randall. I think he'll be all right.
I agree.
And let's hope Victor signs and you know, gets his head screwed on right and knows what his best bet is going to be for the Giants and for their fans. So, anyway, you know, go Big Blue, and it'd be great to see what happens tonight and over the next few days.
All right, Don, I appreciate it.
All right, man, have a good show. Thank
you. Hey, you too. Appreciate it. And, you know, it's interesting. He brings up the Giants' offense. That's really been a given over the past few years. And last year it did take a step back, a small step back, but a step back nonetheless, mostly because of Akeem Nix's injury. I just still don't see the Giants. A, there's no one left in free agency that's a big-time wide receiver that's really going to be better than what the Giants have. And by the way, they hope Gerald Jernigan can finally contribute as a slot receiver in year number three that is in the NFL as well. So I don't see the Giants drafting a wide receiver unless it's a guy late that maybe can be a special teams guy too. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Dave up in Rochester. Dave, what's up, pal?
Dave in Fairlawn.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dave. Go ahead. My bad.
No problem, John. I guess I agree with most everybody there. Like, Fluker would be the choice, but he probably won't be there. I think there's going to be a run on all the offense players. I like the idea of Carradine. I think to match him with JPP going full would be great. What disturbed me yesterday was, I guess you saw Mike Mayock's last mock draft.
I did, yes.
And he picked Pugh as the Giants pick at 19. Have you heard anything about the Giants being so high on this guy?
I have heard. Justin Pugh is a guy that's interesting. He's very much in the mold of a David Diehl. He can play guard. He can play tackle. I know he doesn't have the ideal arm length for an offensive tackle, but I don't
–
exactly. I don't think there's that much concern about that. I think they like his intelligence. They like his ability to use angles. And the Giants value that. And remember, when you go back to when the Giants had their great offensive lines with the Richie Seiberts and the Sean O'Haras and David Diehl and Christine and Cream McKenzie, none of those guys – were ridiculous athletes. They were all guys that worked well together. They were smart. They worked angles. They had good chemistry. And that was one point I was going to try to make before the show was over. The way I'm seeing it now and the more I'm reading about some of these guys below those top six offensive linemen, I'm putting Fluker as the cutoff there, I think there
right.
are some guys, and I think Pugh is certainly one of them. I've heard Pugh has a lot of interest down in Dallas, too, at number 18, to be totally honest with you. I've heard that around the league a little bit too. So I think some of these other offensive linemen, you'll throw Kyle Long in that mix. You can throw Pugh in that mix. You can throw Menelik Watson out of Florida State in that mix. He's
That's
a guy.
Right.
Yeah, he's a guy that to me is a Jerry Reese type of player in that he is a great athlete, is raw as a football player, but the Giants feel they could develop him into a top-notch left tackle or right tackle considering you have Beattie there for a long time.
See, I could see them taking Pugh in like a second round.
He's not going to be
it's
there.
Very unusual that the Giants would take that kind of a player. The guy you talked about, Cyber, they never took him in the first round.
No, that's true. That's fair. And I think you make a good point, Dave, because what the Giants usually do in the first round, they take a great athlete they think has a huge upside.
Exactly.
And a guy like Pugh, or even a guy like Tail, I'll throw him in that mix too. Those guys are not the type of players and the type of athlete, for a better term, that the Giants usually target in round one. I happen to agree with you there.
One other question. I know this is Marcus Hunt. I understand he's a 3-4 lineman. Is there anyone, but he is such like a freak athlete. Is there any chance the Giants would have any interest in somebody like that?
I don't think Marcus Hunt is a first-round pick, especially not that high in the first round. But do I think the Giants would consider him down the road, considering his athletic ability? And, yeah, he's more of a 3-4 player. I think you could figure out a way to use him in a 4-3 if you get creative. But I think in the second round that we can have a better conversation once we know who's off the board after tonight. And
yeah.
We'll talk about it on the show tomorrow morning, who the Giants can look at around two. But I think a guy like that could be a possibility, considering I think he's an older guy. I think he's 24 or 25, right? He was discus champion in Estonia. So he doesn't have a lot of football experience, but he is a great athlete. So I think the Giants would consider someone like that that they can develop in round number two.
Hopefully they get someone like Christine Green.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, thanks for taking my call, John.
Hey, Dave, thanks for calling in, man. We appreciate it. Have a good one. Enjoy the draft tonight. 201-939-4513. And, you know, he brought up a great point. I thought that was interesting that Mike Mayock put Justin Pugh to the Giants at number 19. And I've seen, I think, the Peter King or Don Banks, one of the SI guys, had Watson, I believe, going to the Giants at 19, if I recall. I've seen Eifert there a couple times to the Giants. But, frankly, if Eifert's there at 19, no, I'd be shocked. I don't think he's getting past the Jets at 13. He might get picked by the Jets at 9 if Tavon Austin goes to the Bills at 8. So I think all that's pretty interesting, to be honest with you. I think how these skill position guys go and how desperate teams are to get them, since there are so few in this year's draft, could really shape the way this draft goes from top to bottom. But I think the bottom line, and I think Mike Mayock made the point and Dave brought it up, these second-tier offensive linemen, after, and I'll go through the names, I never actually named the guys, Fisher, who it looks like is going to be number one now, Jokel, who should probably be the second overall pick, Lane Johnson, the other tackle, is probably going to go 4. Then you have Warmack and Cooper and Fluker, who are probably all going to go in the top 12. So you're looking at 6 out of the first 12 picks being offensive linemen. So a lot of offensive linemen early in this draft. But that next tier, the Kyle Longs, the Pughs, the Menelik Watsons, I really like the other offensive lineman from Alabama, the Garrett kid, who I think can play. But he's not supposed to go that high. But I think those other guys are creeping up the boards, and you might see some more offensive linemen that you might not have expected go in the bottom third of that first round that maybe a lot of people thought might be available in the middle of round number two. 201-939-4513. Let's go to our final call of the show. Len's down in Maryland trying to make his final plea for Sylvester Williams. What's up, Len?
How you doing, John? And here's the way I'm going to make my final plea. hypothetical. Victor signs long-term with us, and okay. We all think that's going to happen.
Sure.
Victor signs long-term. We're going in the next year. We got 3 major free agents with only a limited amount of money. I mean, we've signed Victor. We got Hakeem. We got Jason Pierre-Paul. We got Linville Joseph. Who doesn't get the money out of those 4 people, counting Victor in the group? It's probably Linville, huh?
Well, and quite frankly, you're
in my mind, it's probably Linville.
You are going to have to also figure out what you're doing at tight end. Does Adrian Robinson do enough this year to prove that he's a long-term answer, or does Brandon Myers have a big year, and then you have to pay him? So I think that'll be interesting, too.
Well, I think it's probably Linville, and he's the defensive tackle, so I'm thinking there's another case for a defensive tackle. Now, you know, Williams, as you said the other day, and rightly so, Williams is moving up. I mean, Sylvester's moving up, and he could be gone by, 12 to 15, 16, maybe 17. But if that happens, Sheldon Richardson may drop.
Yeah.
And I think, as Mr. Maris said yesterday, we got to get tougher along that defensive line. You know my feeling. I'm getting tired of getting pushed around, John.
Yep.
I don't want to get pushed around anymore. We got to get some bulk in the middle of that line. So I'm leaning towards Sylvester. I hope he's there. If not, one of the other tackles will be Sheldon Richardson. The guard from Kent State, who the Giants were on early, Winters.
Okay. Yeah, I know.
Second round.
We
can get Winters in the second round. If Winters isn't there, hey, I'm with you. Let's get Barrett Jones. I think he's going to be a player.
Yeah.
Third round, I like the middle linebacker from North Carolina, Reddick. And in the fourth round, running back from Michigan State, LaVon Bell. If we get my 4 guys, I'm making reservations for the Super Bowl. I'm going to get me a hotel in New York for the Super Bowl, John.
Len, doing the mock draft for 4 rounds. Very impressive.
Okay. Let's see how close I come. I like those guys. I like those guys. If we can get those 4, I'll be a happy man, John.
Well,
hey,
Len,
thanks for taking my call, John.
I hope to hear from you tomorrow morning, and we'll see how upset or happy you are about whether or not the Giants took your boy, Sylvester Williams. All right, here's some final thoughts. I've rethought my prediction, but I guess I kind of have to I made it on the record with Lenz yesterday that the Giants were going to pick Tank. I want to back off that a little bit. Just, you know, part of it is because of what Mayock talked about last night. And I think the Giants still might end up going offensive line at 19, even if the top 6 are off the board. And if Fluker's there, they're taking him. So if they have a chance to get Fluker, they're taking him. Let me put that on the record first and foremost. But since, and Lance and I both agreed on that yesterday. But if he's not, I'll stick with my prediction that it's going to be Tank Carradine. But I do think there's a chance with these other offensive linemen slowly coming and creeping up the board that the Giants might go offensive line at number 19 anyway and take a guy like Pugh, take a guy like Kyle Long, take a guy like Watson out of Florida State. You know, all those guys I think are potential possibilities. And I can even go through a couple other potential offensive line names as well. But I think, and, you know, second round, the guy Larry Warford, who I know Mike Farmer on Twitter is big on, is a possibility. And, you know, there are just other offensive line I think are slowly creeping up that board and could help the Giants at number 19, even if Fluker is off the board. So I would not be shocked if they go in that direction. I wouldn't be shocked, but I'm getting the feeling they probably won't go linebacker at that pick in 19. If they do, it'll be Ogletree or Tail. I think those are the only two guys with a first-round grade. And again, defensive line, I think you're looking at one of the two Florida State guys, Warner or Carradine. And I love you, Len. I just don't see defensive tackle at this point. I honestly don't. I think they're happy enough with what they have. And those guys aren't ranked high enough on their board compared to some of the other positions of higher need where they would go with one of those guys. So there you go. That's where I think the Giants are going to go here as they head into draft day on day number one. And then whatever they do tonight will impact what they do tomorrow. We'll have our show tomorrow morning and then tomorrow night live too from 7:30 to 8:30 to preview the Giants pick and react to it. We'll have all the press conferences, all that good stuff. And also tonight we have our Big Blue Draft Night Live. Is that the name of the show? I think it is, right? And it'll be Bob Papa, Carl Banks, and Sean O'Hara. They got the A-team in there for this. I'll be at Radio City. They'll be breaking down the selections. They'll come on MSG, I think, at 10:30. They'll be on Giants.com starting at 9:30, previewing, breaking down the pick, exclusive interviews with Jerry Reese, with Mark Ross. I believe head coach Tom Coughlin is going to stop by as well. And if the Giants draft pick is at Radio City, I will try to get them on the phone for those guys, too, during the live show. So make sure you check that out tonight on Giants.com. Should be a whole heck of a lot of fun. And then tomorrow morning, first of all, we have our show at 10. We'll preview. And then Dottino and I are on from 7:30 until, frankly, we want to get off after the second-round pick tomorrow night. We'll have the press conferences and see what we can do in terms of getting these guys on the show and just breaking down what the Giants did with their draft pick. So that's how I look at it, folks. It'll be an interesting night. I think this draft has a lot of movement that we haven't seen in years past. I think once you get past those top 10 or 11 or 12 picks, I don't know who's going to go. I don't know who's going where. And I don't think anybody really does, to be honest with you. I think you're going to have a lot of moves, a lot of trades with teams trying to move back. Other teams maybe have one guy higher on their board that other teams don't, and they'll try to move up. I know people are saying, well, since you don't have any marquee players in that 20 area, teams aren't going to want to move up. However, I think teams' draft boards aren't as similar to each other as some people might think. I think the way teams evaluate players can be so different that a guy the Giants have at 20 might be at 40 at somebody on somebody else's board, especially in a draft like this where so many guys are close together. So I think you are going to get more moves than a lot of people think in this draft. Let's go through some of our tweets. Mike Farmer wants the Giants to tweet down, likes a lot of players in the later rounds. I think I'm okay with that. Wants to stick with David Carr, quarterback. I'm good with that as well. Kelsey Woodward writes in, wants to draft Kenny Vaccaro. He's a playmaker. I think he's going to be a good guy. I'm not sure the Giants are going to go safety in the first round, though. Our man Lou NYG wants to go D-line. I could see that. And, again, Mike Farmer likes Barrett Jones, too, but he likes Larry Warford in the second round as a Pro Bowl caliber player. I just think Barrett Jones is being overlooked because of that injury. He can play center. He can play guard. He started a right tackle for Alabama, too. And that's an offensive line that's dominated for three straight years. Whether it's Trent Richardson, whether it's I'm having a mental block. Eddie Lacy this year. I'm telling you, whoever gets that kid is going to get a starter for 10 years in this league, whoever gets him in the second or third round. Love Barrett Jones. Love him. Everybody, thanks for joining us. Should be an exciting night. It should be a fun night. Make sure you're on Giants.com. You'll have all the exclusive quickest stuff, all the official word on who the Giants are going to draft. Make sure you log in all day, all night long. And again, our show tonight starts at 9:30. Bob Papa, Carl Banks, Sean O'Hara. I'll be at Radio City. It should be a whole heck of a lot of fun. That too. Thanks for joining us this morning on Big Blue Kickoff Live. We'll be back tomorrow morning. Again, the show tonight, check it out. It's all brought to you by Andrew Mark. Enjoy the draft, everybody. It's finally here. We can actually talk about a player that the Giants actually drafted tomorrow. How about that? I can't wait. See you then.